Hello, everyone. Happy Wednesday. It looks like there's a few more people in the room than I'm used to seeing on Wednesday afternoons, so it's good to see you all. For those of you who don't know what I'm here for, hi again, Kathy. For those of you who don't know what I'm here for, I am here for what is called the Guiding Lights. And what I do during the Guiding Light is I read directly from the Bible, directly from the Book of John, and I let the interpretation that comes from live spontaneity come through. And it's always a continuation, just like the soap opera, The Guiding Light. It's always a continuation of where we left off last week. So I typically start with a review of where we were last week in the story of Jesus. And then I play a song, and then we get into the new material. So last week we looked at John chapter 15 verses 1 through 5. And let me just read the first couple lines of that for you. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. And what we talked a lot about last week is how when there seems to be upheaval, or there seems to be tragedy in one's life, this is an opportunity for the purification process. As this says, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. So when things seem to be going, I'm going to call it not our way, meaning the way that the mind would desire for it to go. I don't have the mic. No mic. I will go out and come out again. Oh, I do have it. Okay, good. Thank you. Thank you, Jacqueline. So as I was saying, when things seem to be going not in the way the mind would like it to go, right? It's some kind of an upheaval, or it's some kind of a tragedy. This is an opportunity for purification. It's also an opportunity to miss purification. Just the fact that there's an upheaval does not mean that there will be a purification. It all depends on how you go through the upheaval, how you go through the tragedy. Whenever there is an upheaval or whenever there is a tragedy, the ego has its lines as well. And if you believe the ego and you think, speak, and act from the ego while you're going through the upheaval or the tragedy, of course there will not be purification. The ego has just been reinforced. But if you go through the process with the inner guidance, go through the process watching the thoughts but not believing the thoughts, go through the process connected to stillness, go through the process with rest, accept, and trust. I mean, you guys know all of this. This is nothing new. Then the upheaval becomes an opportunity for purification. So that's what we talked about last week. And so this week we are going to continue by starting with John 15:5. And before I do that, I'm going to play a song. This is a Kirtana song, and it goes along really well with last week's lesson. This song, is, you guys may know it, is called the Train Song. And this song is about just because the thoughts are there doesn't mean you have to believe them. And there's a wonderful line in this song. In fact, I think Kathy and I, we already heard the song once today. There's a wonderful line in the song that talks about how you are that which the thoughts and the feelings arise in. You are not the thoughts and the feelings. And if you can set back and be that space, be that awareness, be that watcher, without being the believer, this is when purification occurs. So this is Kirtana's song, the train song.
Just because the tracks are laid, or just because your ticket's paid for, and some crazed conductor keeps on calling out your name, you don't need to board the train. You don't need to board the train. Trains of thought will come and go, but you are not your thoughts, you know. So why get all caught up in where they lead? You are who these thoughts are.
Kirtana a couple years ago for the Awakening Together Satsang. I already had several of her songs then, and so I told her I have this song and this song and this song. I said, are there any songs I'm missing? And she said, the train song. I hadn't heard it before. So immediately after the interview, I went and looked up the train song, and it is indeed a great song. And I guess you guys have definitely already noticed that Jamie, for some reason, doesn't want me sitting here right now. It could be because we have a guest today. Shiloh is here. We're babysitting Shiloh today, and I don't know, maybe Jamie's acting a little jealous, a little give me your attention, who knows. But anyway, it is what it is. So what I'm going to do before we go into the verse 5 and start looking at what comes, I'm going to reread this entire section. In my Bible, which is the NIV Study Bible, it's divided into sections, and each section has a title. And this title is called The Vine and the Branches. So I am going to read the entire section, including the 5 verses that we looked at last week, but then I will start looking at verse 5. So here we go. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So those are the verses that we read last week. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. I looked up for a second and lost my place. One moment. Okay. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. All right, so today in the discussion of this, we're going to start at verse 5, where Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So, remain in me. To me, we have two choices. One choice is what I'm going to call an outward focus, and the other choice is an inward focus. And there are only these two choices. There's not a sideways choice. It's either out or in. And interestingly, our mind, which is inside of the skin, right, the brain is inside of the skin, our mind is actually outside. So our thoughts are outside. So when we are focused on our thinking and focused on our spinning mind, we are actually focused outward, outside. And when we are focused outward, outside, that is what Jesus would call not remaining on the vine. When Jesus talks about remaining on the vine, Jesus is talking about being focused inward all of the time. Very, very much like Ramana, right? If we look at the teachings of Inner Ramana, the purpose of surrender. Inner Ramana gives us a list of questions to ask. And actually, Inner Ramana says the only question we have to ask is... The dogs are beginning to fight here. Yes, Jamie, I see that you don't want Shiloh around, but she is. Did you guys hear the little growl? Yeah, now there's the bark. And babysitting today, as I mentioned. All right, so... Inner Ramana says that we really only need to ask the question, what am I to do now? But within that question, all of these questions are embedded. So let's listen to these questions. Question number one, how am I to see this? How shall I listen? How shall I be now? What am I to hear? What would you have me know? What is my perspective as given by you? How shall I respond? What shall I think? What would you have me see in me that I am not seeing? This is inward focused. And of course, we know that most people don't live in the world with this inward focus. Most people are looking outward at their thoughts and beyond, at whatever's happening in the world, and they are reacting to their thoughts, reacting to what they see in the outside world. And this is the primary state of mind in the world today. And we can see the effects of this primary state of mind by looking at the world. Because the world is a projection of this primary state of mind. And it's very interesting because right now, you know, when you look at the world, you can find a lot of violence in the world. I come into the internet through Yahoo. So when I turn on the computer, the first thing that shows up is Yahoo. And Yahoo always has some kind of news there. And I remember a couple years ago, every time I came into Yahoo, it seemed like the big news story that was featured was about, you know, some movie star getting a divorce or something like that, you know. There just wasn't much there. But now it seems like every time I come into Yahoo, it's about another suicide bomber or another shooting or even another earthquake. It seems like right now, for some reason, there's a lot being pictured out there in the world. That is showing us that we are not living with inner focus. We are living with outer focus. And maybe we're just getting upset at our children for their choices, or maybe we're getting upset at our friends for their choices, or our coworkers for their choices. But the outer focus itself is living in the illusion, living in the world and making the illusion, making the world and being lost from God or lost from truth or lost from self. This is what Jesus is telling us. He says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Well, it's funny because it looks like when we're outward focused and there's so much going on and we're reacting to everything that is going on, it looks like maybe that we're doing a lot of stuff. You know, that it's possible that it looks like we're doing a lot of stuff. And in fact, the mind can be really, really, really spinning. I remember a long time ago, this might be somewhere in NTI. I don't remember when it came, but I remember my mind was really, really spinning over whatever was going on at the time. I think it was in NTI, and Holy Spirit was speaking to me and called that busy, busy, busy mind idle. Right? Let me just type that in the room. Idle. It's funny because the appearance was, it was exactly the opposite of idle. I mean, it was busy, 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 you know, full of grievances and full of fears and full of guilt and just spinning and spinning. And the Holy Spirit called that idle. And here Jesus is telling us that apart from him or apart from the vine, you can do nothing. Which means we can appear to be very, very occupied in the world. And we're doing nothing. Why would that be called nothing? Because it has nothing to do with truth. It's like a hamster running on a wheel. Is the hamster actually going anywhere? The hamster may be running and running and running, but he's not going anywhere. And the world is running and running and running, but it's not going anywhere. It's stuck. It's stuck in a repeat over and over and over again of a projection of the ego mind. And the world is stuck in this over and over and over again projection of the ego mind because we remain stuck in outward focus. Jesus is literally asking us to be his disciples. He is asking us to return to the inward focus. And his friend, Ramana Maharshi, through the teachings of Inner Ramana, is giving us some very clear tips on what we can do to help us stay inward focused. What am I to do now? How am I to see this? How shall I listen? How shall I be now? What am I to hear? What would you have me know? What is my perspective as given by you? How shall I respond? What shall I think? What would you have me see in me that I am not seeing? If we are not in some way asking those questions, and we may not have those questions memorized, you know, very few people have read the teachings of Inner Ramana, so they're not going to have these questions memorized. But the spirit of these questions actually lives in the heart. Nobody really has to read the teachings of Inner Ramana to discover the spirit of these questions. And the spirit of the questions is this. Instead of reacting to the outside world, no matter what appears to be occurring, check within, genuinely. Check within for what your perception is to be, for what your thoughts about it are to be, for what your response is to be, if any. This is remaining on the vine. Do you hear those words? Remaining on the vine. And Jesus also says here that the one who remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit. Well, what does that mean, bear much fruit? Although there may be reflections in the world, I don't think bear much fruit has anything at all to do with the world. Bear much fruit is all about awakening to our truth. It's about remembering our reality. We cannot awaken to our truth or remember our reality through outward focus. Right? Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is within. So bear much fruit is referring to awakening, remembrance, clarity. So the man, or of course the woman, that is focused within is the one that is awakening. The man or the woman that is focused outward is not, is doing nothing, is just being like a hamster on a wheel, running and running and running, but going nowhere. Again, back to the Bible. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. This again is just Jesus' way of emphasizing how meaningless the ego and its world is. I mean, you know, you could win the office of President of the United States, and in the opinions of some people, maybe you do great things. And in the opinions of other people, maybe you ruin the country, right? Jesus' opinion, if you were outward focused, did you do great things? No. Did you ruin things? No. Everything you did through outward focus is as meaningless as a branch that has withered, been thrown into the fire, and burned. It has absolutely no meaning at all. Just like above, when Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. Now, does this mean that if I am inner focused, that I can see, say, Dear Jesus, please bring me enough money that I can retire in peace and never have to work again? I would say no. In fact, that doesn't even make any sense that when Jesus says, ask and you will receive whatever you ask, right? That doesn't make any sense because that just went right back to outward focus. I just left the vine the moment I prayed for enough money to retire and live in peace in the world, right, away from having to have a job. Jesus does say, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. But when we are truly inward focused, genuinely inward focused, there's only one wish: to know myself, to know the truth. There aren't other wishes that come about through inward focus. All of the other wishes are returning to the outward focus. What Jesus is telling us is that if we remain inward focused, we will get the one thing we want. We will remember the truth. We will awaken. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So we are Jesus' disciples through inward focus. And it is, as he says, to my Father's glory that we awaken. Verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now, remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remained in his love. Now, he's using different words here, but he's not saying anything different. You know, maybe he's just using a different set of words in case somebody didn't get the meaning of the words when he was using the vine analogy. Now he's using a love analogy. But he's not saying anything different. He's saying, I remained in my Father's love by obeying his commands, and you remain in my love by obeying my commands. Right? And if we go based on what he has just taught, the command again would be inward focused instead of outward focused. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I love that word, remain. You know, this isn't about running out and then running back and running out and then running back. This isn't about being inward focused for 1 or 2 hours a day and then going out into the world and totally forgetting inward focus and getting back into believing our thoughts and reacting to everything we see in the world. Jesus is repeatedly using the word remain. Remain. This is his command. It reminds me like in a Ramana, it says something about partial abidance will not work. Partial abidance will not work. That's what Inner Ramana says. Jesus says, remain in me as I remain in my Father. Stay with that inward focus. Do not leave, regardless of what seems to be occurring in the world. Regardless of whether everyone around you and everything around you is absolutely and fully insane. And in fact, in this story, for those of you who haven't been here and you don't know where we are, in this story, this is the evening that Jesus is going to be arrested. This is his last talk to the disciples at the Last Supper after Judas has already left the room. So this is really to the 11. So this is the last talk that Jesus is giving to his disciples. And although there's no way to know for sure what Jesus knew, chances are at the very least he intuited that things were about to get very, very wild. And as we know, he is arrested later this evening. He is taken to a trial where people come in and make false testimony against him. He chooses not to defend himself, so there's no other side of the story. There's only the false story. He is then taken before Pontius Pilate, who wasn't attached enough to the Jewish story to be concerned about Jesus and didn't see Jesus as having really committed any crimes. But finally, Pontius Pilate gives in to the pressure of both the Jewish leaders and the people. Now, what's really interesting about this story is, remember, just a few days before, Jesus came into Jerusalem and he was hailed by the people. Remember, they said Hosanna or whatever they said, and Jesus is riding in on a donkey and crowds are there and they love Jesus and they're hailing him. And now, about a week later, maybe less, when Pontius Pilate comes out on the stage and asks if they want Barabbas or Jesus to be released, they yell for Barabbas. And to Jesus they yell, crucify him. What caused the people to flip-flop so quickly from hailing him to crucify him? Outward focus. Even the hailing him was coming from outward focus, just joining in with the crowd, listening to the stories, believing the stories, but having no inward focus at all. Loving the stories of the miracles, loving the stories of how Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead, right? Maybe even loving the rumors that he was going to be the one that was going to gather an army and free Israel from the Roman Empire, right? Maybe even loving the rumors that had nothing to do with who he was or what he was about. Hailing him, praising him through outward focus. And this is what enabled them only a few days later to flip-flop completely and say, crucify him. They were literally slaves to the ego mind. And Jesus, in some degree or another, knows that, as Kathy says, things are about to go down. And he knows this isn't only going to affect him. This is going to affect these 11 men in front of him who have loved him and trusted him. And suddenly they're not going to understand what's happening. They'll be thrown into fear and confusion. and his advice to them just prior to all of this happening is, remain in me. Remain in me. Even as this outer environment is about to get extremely chaotic, do not get caught up on whatever is happening on the outside. Remain in me. This is his final teaching. So he says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. That's another beautiful statement. Even with Jesus knowing that all of this is about to happen, or to some degree he knows, he may not know specifics, but he can feel it coming, right? He's saying, I remain in my Father. Right? I'm not going to go out and start reacting. And we know he didn't, because we know that when those false witnesses were brought against him, Jesus didn't say, that's not true, this is what I said. Right? He didn't do anything except remain in the Father. He says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Now think about that. This is a man who is about to be arrested, beaten, and crucified. This is a man for whom the majority of the people are going to turn against. Even his closest disciples, right? Judas is already over there, you know, telling them where they can find Jesus so they can arrest him. Peter, as we know, is going to deny Jesus three times. The majority of the disciples, all of them except for John, the majority of the disciples are going to run in separate directions out of fear and hide. And you know, even his disciples are about to temporarily turn against him. And what word does he use to describe his current direct experience? Joy. Joy. Where does that joy come from? It couldn't possibly come from outward reflection, outward looking, outward thinking, because everything's about to go very, very bad, you know, from the outward perspective. The joy can only come from remaining in the Father. The joy can only come from remaining within, from remaining in the heart, from remaining in the truth. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. So again, what he's also saying here is, if you follow my commands and remain in me, an effect of that will be joy, even with everything that appears to be going on. Some of you may be aware, in fact, I suspect this is why some of you are here, that there's some drama going on in Awakening Together right now. And I was talking to a friend on the phone a little bit ago, And I heard myself say, and we were talking about the drama, and I heard myself say, I am so happy. And I felt it in the heart. How can I be happy when everything seems to be falling apart, breaking apart? When there are stories being told that aren't true and I'm looking like the bad guy and there's nothing I can or will say to change that. How can I be happy? Because I've been inward focused. And because I love being inward focused. You know, I'm not being inward focused out of some desire to make things right according to my judgment of right. I'm inward focused because I love being inward focused. I don't want to be a part of this that is going on, even if it appears to involve me. I don't want to be a part of it. Now, I have a job to do. As you guys know, I get paid to do a job, and I will slowly and contemplatively do my job. But I have no intention of blaming anyone, telling lies about anyone, gossiping about anyone. All of the stuff that is a part of the war, a part of the storm, and a part of the natural human tendency when the human is focused outward. I have no intention of participating. Even if Awakening Together crumbles, falls apart, and ends completely. I have every intention of just staying in with the joy. And I have said prayers. When I pray, if I use a symbol, you know, sometimes I pray to the benevolent universe, and some of you guys may have seen that recently. But sometimes I like to pray to Jesus Ramana Buddha, like a hyphenated name. And that's the order in which I became aware of their teachings. So I became aware of Jesus' teachings first, then Ramana's teachings, then Buddha's teachings. So I pray to Jesus Ramana Buddha as a hyphenated name sometimes. I like to do that. And my prayer to them has been an expression that, A, I only want truth. And I ask them to help me, regardless of what is currently happening, to help me remain only inner focused and to not respond from the outer focus state of mind. But because there is a tendency in the outer focus state of mind just to kind of quit all of this, and we have had some resignations lately, and I've had a couple other people call me to tell me they were going to quit and then change their mind. You know, quitting is a reaction, right? And I've seen the same reaction in me. So even though I've seen that reaction, what I say in my prayers is, I will play my role. But you tell me what my role is. And then I leave it all be. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. And of course, we all know that Larry got that from A Course in Miracles, but I think that's a wonderful summation of what Jesus is teaching right here. You know, when he says, like I read to you a little earlier, if a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing, right? Nothing unreal exists. I mean, Jesus is giving the same teacher, right? Same teaching right here in the Bible 2,000 some years ago, right? The teaching just keeps appearing until we listen. And listening is not mentally agreeing. Listening is living it. And listening is not telling someone else, you should be inward focused. Listening is me being inward focused. Me living my life that way, regardless of how everyone else chooses to be. So again, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Now I'll read the next sentence in a moment, but first let's look at this sentence. Love each other as I have loved you. Well, if Jesus has just talked about and emphasized remaining in the Father, and he called that love, then how did he love someone outside of him, right? These others in front of him, these 11 disciples. How did he love them? Simply by remaining in the Father. You don't suddenly switch to an outward focus. Love is not an outward focus. The words I love you sound outward focused, right? But you don't switch to outward focus. That's not how you love. You love by remaining in the inward focus. And so when Jesus says, love each other as I have loved you, he is saying, remain in the inward focus. He's just saying it again in another way. Follow my example and remain inward. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. And then this next sentence is one of my favorite sentences in the entire Bible. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. That to me refers to the ego death. The greatest gift that I can give, and the greatest gift that you can give, because we're all the same, but the greatest gift that I can give is to remain inward focused to the point that my ego dies, disappears, vanishes, explodes, however it happens. You know, sometimes people seem to describe it as a gentle shift, and sometimes it's a radical shift. However it happens, gentle or radical or somewhere in between, the greatest gift I can give is to allow that ego death. And again, that ego death only comes about by remaining inward focused, even in the face of great upheaval. The moment I go to outward focus, I have shifted to reinforcing the ego. Ego death does not come about through reinforcing the ego. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And then listen to this next little piece. He says, you are my friends. If you do what I command, right? You are my friends if you do what I command. And Jesus doesn't mean, you know, I don't love you if you don't. But he has a very special definition of friend. So let's listen to his special definition of friend. He says, you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. A friend, in this special, temporary, it applies here only definition, a friend is someone who's going within and making the same discovery. Discovering our equality. Discovering our oneness. Awakening to truth. That is what Jesus is calling here a friend. And that's why he says you have to obey my commands to be my friend, because you can't meet that special definition if you're not going within. Again, this shouldn't be misinterpreted. It doesn't mean that Jesus doesn't love you if you're outward focused. You know, you have to listen to the teaching very carefully. But he is saying that if we want to discover that equality, if we want to discover that sameness with him, if we want to discover that we are the same as him, the same one as him, we need to go in. That's what he's saying. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. He says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And again, I spoke about the fruit being the remembrance, the awakening. And he says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And we all know, every one of us that's here, that at some point a calling arose in us. Something began to turn our attention in the direction of truth. We also know that when Elie Ruzdar was here, Elie Ruzdar talks about how, you know, God is just still playing asleep out there in that one, you know. But then in some, God wants to awaken now. God wants that awakening experience to happen in some. So that calling comes to us. And that's what he's saying here. I chose you. Even if you think you chose me, I chose you. The calling awoke in you because I chose you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. And we all know again that when you're inward focused, the only thing you ask for is awakening. And he's saying the Father will give it, right? And then he repeats, this is my command, love each other. But you can't take those last three words, love each other, out of context from this entire discussion where he really defines love as remaining on the vine. Being inward focused. If that line is taken out of context, most likely love is being interpreted in an outward focused way, which is exactly the opposite of Jesus's teaching. So we love each other by remaining within. We love each other by asking questions like, how am I to see this? How shall I listen? How shall I respond? How shall I think? What do you want me to see? That's how we love. The mind doesn't know how to love. We can't love through outward focus. And with that, my time is up. So I will go. And y'all have a wonderful day. I love you.